I'm here today with David Sauvage, a film director who's now covering Occupy Wall Street in New York. David, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
So you're a film director. How did you get involved with the whole Occupy movement to begin with?
I went down there about a week into the occupation. I thought what was going on was just beautiful. And I gathered up a crew, people I work with. I persuaded them to spend a day with me. And people at the time were saying that nobody knew what the protesters wanted. And my sense was that the protesters knew exactly what they wanted. They just happened to want different things. And so I sought to make a video that would reflect the multiplicity of viewpoints down there in a way that would ultimately show that that is ideally a good thing.
You have a donation page you started on the website loudsauce.com for funds regarding your TV spots for these commercials that you've shot that have gone completely viral on YouTube. What made you start doing those?
Well, once I made the 30-second piece, I basically sent it to friends and a few journalists I knew. One of the incredible results of that is that so many people reached out to me and said, this is great. How can we help? What can we do? And one of those people said, I'd like to put this on television. And I had no idea how to get a commercial on television. I direct things for people who understand those things, but that's totally out of my range of skills. And he said, well, we're going to put it on this site called Loud Sauce. And I said, great. So the founder of Loud Sauce, Colin Mutchler, took this ad and put it up there along with a friend of his, Matt Ewing. And we raised like $6,000 or $7,000 in a matter of days. And we used that $6,000 or $7,000 to buy media time.
I was looking at the website. So in 12 days, you've raised over $15,000. That's a huge accomplishment.
So that first Loud Sauce campaign, we raised $6,000 or $7,000, $6,200, I think it was. And then once that went through and we started buying airtime with it, then we stepped back. I made two more commercials. And then with those three commercials, we said, let's do another raise to buy airtime with these. And that's the campaign you're referring to. And that has raised $15,000 and change in a few days.
Now, I'm going to play one of these commercials really quickly so our audience can hear.
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the markets.
I want my kids to have a job and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
So now, with that commercial, you've bought airtime on networks like Fox News and other organizations that seem to actually be against the Occupy movement. Why are you doing that?
I thought it would be fun. There aren't enough negative words to use about Fox News, so I won't even bother. But I just thought it would be ironic and silly and cool to take ads that are in support of this movement that they are slandering and put them on. So what better place to put an Occupy Wall Street ad on than Bill O'Reilly's show?
So you have three commercials airing during his O'Reilly factor. Was that on purpose?
I had the first commercial that you saw or that you just played, that aired on Bill O'Reilly very much on purpose. The way the ad buy took place was through Google Ads, and Google Ads allows you to buy airtime only through select cable providers. So if you had Verizon Fios or Dish Network or DirecTV and you were watching Bill O'Reilly a few days ago, you very likely saw this ad that you just played. And then with the next set of ads, we haven't figured out yet exactly where we're going to do the buy.
Do you think that it'll be looked on as being biased for singling out these news organizations in particular?
Well, I'm definitely biased, so I have no problem being called biased. I'm very much in favor of the movement. I would call myself part of it. I'm just trying to make media that gets the word out about how beautiful, powerful, and important this moment is. I'm biased.
If you could sum up in a few words why you think this movement is so essential, especially to people of our generation.
That's a great question, and I wish I could answer it in a few words. It's really hard. I think first, we all sort of agree and understand that the path we're on is unsustainable. I think there's a general consensus that the environment is going to hell and that within a matter of decades, if not years, there will be irreparable harm done to our planet. We're all seeing democracy crumble right now in Europe, where banks are running the show because of what's happened with the currency. And we've all felt in America in the last few years, the wealth travel ever upward while the people at the bottom get screwed more and more and more. Simultaneous to all of these problems, we universally have the sense, whether you're right, left, or in the center, that our government is utterly incapable of engaging with these problems in a way that might seriously address them. And so what to do with that? On the one hand, you have a scale of problem that seems huge and a solution in our current representation that seems trivial, silly, asinine. And that disconnect is really, really scary. And until Occupy Wall Street came around, there was no voice saying we have to do something to address these problems for real. You know, there's a big criticism about Occupy Wall Street not having yet a coherent message or a plan of action. And I think that that is because the reason there isn't that coherent message, quote unquote, is because we don't have the solutions yet. So the first step is to sort of disengage from the phony political process that we've all been overly engaged with for years. Take a step back and start talking to each other. What do we do about economic injustice? What do we do about the fact that the banks run the country? What do we do about the scale of environmental catastrophe we're facing? And how can we do it in a way that isn't corrupted by the same system that we are now sick of working in?
So what is your hope for not just the future of the movement, but the future of who your work is going to be impacting?
All I'm seeking to do is do the very best I personally can to serve the movement. In terms of what the goals of the movement are, or where this goes, I think in some ways it's difficult to talk about where it's going to end up, and more productive almost to talk about its process. I think it's very easy, and the press needs to talk about things in terms of goals and messages, but maybe right now there's another way of looking at it, and that's in terms of how we go about thinking about the problems. So for instance, right now in DC, the super committee, quote unquote, has failed to reach any kind of agreement about how to cut the $1.2 trillion that they were mandated to cut. And what's slated to go into effect is a wholesale demolition of our national budget. This is really scary. So we can either protest DC and complain about it and talk about it in blogs and do all the things that clearly haven't worked since this situation started happening 30 years ago. Or we can take a step back and say, listen, maybe we need another approach. And what does that approach look like? We don't know yet. We don't know yet, but let's at least start having the conversation. So my hope above all, I think, is to protect the process and to let these conversations happen in Occupy Wall Street, in Occupy LA, in Occupy Chicago, in Occupy Portland. And eventually these conversations are going to start merging and a coherent picture of what to do will come to the fore. But until that happens, I think it's critical that we just kind of lay back and engage as individuals in these conversations.
Now, a lot of people have been saying that the movement is becoming more professional and much more of a very clean public organization versus the initial portrayal of a bunch of homeless people gathered in a park looking for a place to sleep at night. Do you find that a lot more people in quote unquote professional jobs are now joining the movement?
Well, they were there from the beginning, but they weren't being reported on in the beginning. So there's two things going on. There's what's happening in the movement, and then there's what you read about the movement. And I would say those two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other whatsoever. There has been an increased understanding within the movement of the importance of professionals. And I think that's where someone like me can make a difference. And that's where somebody like you can make a difference. And that's where people who are professional communicators in some capacity can really make a difference. But those people have been there from day one. It's just they weren't being acknowledged. And now we're starting to talk with a bit of a louder voice. And so, you know, I put a little ad on Fox News and people go, holy crap, you really can occupy Fox News. You really can work in a professional way on a microscopic budget and help change the conversation. And that hopefully inspires more people to attempt similar things.
Now, with Fox News specifically, because this really interests me, why do you specifically single them out compared to all the other news organizations that are out there?
First, because I thought it was funny, to be honest. I think, like, why not put an Occupy Wall Street ad on Fox News, which is so blatantly opposed to Occupy Wall Street? To me, that's cute and newsworthy. The other reason is because I think that the people who watch Fox News, should they understand what is actually going on, will be similarly inspired to join. I think that the people who have been voting Republican have been lied to almost as badly as the people who have been voting Democrat, maybe even worse. And this idea that somehow constantly protecting corporations from any form of government intrusion is in the best interest of your average Republican is insane. And should we be able to explain that to your average Republican, I think it would dramatically change the discourse in this country. And instead of having a country that looks like Democrat and Republican, we'll have a country that looks more like what it actually is at bottom. A mass of people who are sick of being stepped on, and a small group of plutocrats who are running the show, because that's what's actually happening. And so this mass of people, be they Republican or Democrat or Green Party or Libertarian, should ultimately bind together and say, whatever our principles are and whatever our politics are, we all agree that we are no longer being represented in this political process. And the first thing we need to do is band together and reestablish democracy.
I don't know if you heard of the lawsuit that was filed this morning on behalf of the Green Party, the Libertarians, and the Peace and Freedom Parties in California against Prop 14,
mm-mm.
Which...
Tell me.
Prop 14 provides for whichever candidates get the top votes, they're the ones that are put in the primary, and there's no right and Canada is, there's none of that. So what's your opinion on that?
I think it's horrible. You know, I think democracy is disappearing. I think democracy has been disappearing for a while, but now it's getting increasingly blatant. And so you're seeing pushback. And what you're seeing in, I forgot what state it is, where they're trying to mandate bringing photo IDs to be able to vote. Proposition 14, which I'm learning about. I feel like there's a general consensus among people in positions of power who tend to be on the quote unquote right, that the democratic process as it was ideally structured no longer suits them. And they're going to find a way around that through lobbying and through manipulating the voting procedures, through mechanisms like what you're talking about. Unfortunately, it's in the democratic interest and in the Republican interest to continue to buy into a system in which lobbyists fund vacations for them. And until that system is broken, we have a problem.
If you could just say one thing to all the people that are either involved with the Occupy movement or should be involved, what would you say to them?
I hope to be equal to that question someday soon. I don't feel like I've yet found my answer to that one. People who are already involved, thank you. You're doing God's work. And the people who are wondering about whether or not they should get involved or what should they do, I come from the deepest part of my soul. I want to tell you, as an educated business school student, generally libertarian leaning, that if you look at the situation clearly, you will start to see that you are no longer a participant in this democratic process and that you no longer have a meaningful say over the way your government works. This to me is readily apparent if you're willing to see it. And if you're willing to see it, then what do you do about it? And for the first time right now, at least in my lifetime, there is a group of people gathering up all across the country to say, we no longer feel represented and we have to retake this democracy. We have to reclaim our right to a vote, first by engaging honestly and openly with each other. Whatever you're comfortable with, that's what you should do. If you're uncomfortable driving down to Occupy LA or Occupy Detroit or Occupy Wall Street, that just feels too weird to you, you're afraid of the smells, I can understand, I can even relate, then go online, look at those websites, see what they need, give a few bucks, write a few emails, watch a few videos. Engage to the extent that you're comfortable, and then be honest with yourself about how that's affecting you, and then engage a little more. The other thing I would say, people ask, how can I help? One thing I've learned personally is that you can do whatever it is you do. So I'm a documentary filmmaker and a commercial director, and I made a commercial, a documentary style commercial, and it's having some small effect. If you are a musician, there's beautiful music to be created about this moment that could help stir people to action. If you're a reporter, it should be clear what you can do to help. If you're in radio, you can do what you can. If you're a historian, whatever, I mean, these are all communications jobs, but even if you're a cook, you can go down there and start cooking for people. Whatever it is you do, in whatever capacity you do it, there is some way that you can do that same thing on behalf of the movement. So do what you do best, do what you already do best, but instead of doing it for money or to please your boss, do it to change the world.
David Savage, thank you so much for joining us here today, Annenberg Radio News.
Thank you for having me.